Oh, I got it right there.
Okay.
All right. All right, shalom, everybody. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
Praise the Lord. We are here on a Wednesday night. Pastor Ben is cleaning the lens. And I don't know if Leanne saw me, if she got my message on Facebook. But I got it. Leanne. We thought maybe the postman had stole my coin, my Trump Osiris coin. Now they got Trump Heights in, I think they're villain in the West Bank. I don't know, but they got this is my Trump Osiris coin. And then she sent me this awesome card, which used to be my favorite song. You want to hear it? Because that's me. I'm happy. You know why I'm happy? Because I got Jesus.
Amen.
And I used to didn't have Jesus. And I always remind myself of that. I used to didn't have Jesus. And I was a slave to sin. Did whatever my master told me. And so now that I'm free, I'm very thankful. So thank you, Leanne, for everything. God bless you. And we'll talk tomorrow. And then I have this other card here, Pastor Ben, from Deborah.
Uh-huh.
She always sends me beautiful cards. I love her. She sent this to us. Okay. Let me see. This is a good Father's Day card. Wow, Pastor Ben, how long you be holding on to my stuff?
I forgot.
This was for Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Hope you get it in time. No, I don't say that, but. So anyway, Leanne, Pastor Ben had your card and your coin for I don't know how many months or years, but
he forgot
it was in his bag. So praise, I'm just glad he found it. Then I have this other thing, but this other letter is from a lady in Laguna, and I love Laguna, Linda K. Johnson, in Laguna Hills, and she wrote me this really beautiful letter, and thank you, Linda. I appreciate it. God bless you, God. Thank you. I was looking at all my cards today on my desk as I was getting ready for the message tonight. And Pastor Ben, we have to play for Linda and Jim Sorcy. They just had a little health problems, and so we want to keep them lifted up in prayer.
Okay.
And I just thank God for them. Very encouraging.
You're missing something.
Oh, yeah. Now, Pastor Ben, watch this. This is from Wanda Scott. She's in Jersey.
See that?
See that picture? It said first.
Back it up, Pastor Sandy. Back it up.
Yeah, back it up?
Yeah. And drop that. There we go.
Okay.
Amazing.
It says, the letter's on the back, so I'm reading it. First, I would like to let you...
Oh, yeah, put your mic on, dude.
Do I have my mic on?
Oh,
I dropped it. Okay, here we go. Okay. So here it is, says, from Linda Scott. This is my second Jersey friend, so I wonder if they know each other. It says, first, I would like to let you know that I am new to your channel, S4C, about 4 months now, and I have enjoyed it immensely. You have been a great encourager and have refreshed my hope while waiting. Also, I am learning so much new revelation regarding the scriptures through what the Lord is revealing to you. I thank God for leading me to your channel, hallelujah. And it says, so I'm sending you this artwork. The Holy Spirit helped me to create for an employee at an art show 2 years ago. And it says, she says it was hanging in her apartment, but she wants it to be somewhere where people can be inspired by it. And we have a nice wall right over here behind me that people we can hang it.
Yes.
Got a lot of good scriptures on it and everything. So praise God.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. The picture Hilda sent me is still at my house, Pastor Ben. And I don't. I have to bring it, but I want to take it back to my house. So, because I love it. So, let's get started on Bible study tonight.
Let them know about Wednesday and Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Wednesday, June 26th, next Wednesday, we will not be here. Or Thursday, we will not be here. Me and Pastor Ben will be out of town, and we won't be back till Sunday, but I will be preaching on Sunday morning. So I'll see you then. And so thank you, everybody. But for all you Bible Club people, I'll see you tomorrow for Bible Club tomorrow, just not next Thursday. Okay? So that's it. Linda, Leanne also sent me this, the Trump coin from the from Israel. So thank you. Here we go. Here's the Bible study for tonight. I hope you are listening and listening well, because this is the question. And I think God already knew the answer when he presented the question. Who believes the Bible more, Christians or Satan? And we're going to try to answer this question, but we're going to answer it in the framework that God would answer, because God knows the truth. Because no matter how much you read the Bible, you do not have the experience that Satan has had for 6,000 years. You know, Satan has seen every prophecy come true. He was there. He saw it. You know what I mean? We're sitting here, we're going, yeah, I read about it. He was like, know why I read the Bible? I was there. Both temples got destroyed. I was there, okay? When the water split, I was there. I was with the Egyptians on the other side. I'm the one told him to go through. You can make it, right? He was there. You understand? When Israel got kicked out of the land, and Satan was there. You understand? So his experience over these last 6,000 years of watching God work has confirmed to him that what God says is going to happen. So the only thing he can do is try to work around what he's already spoken. Yeah. Okay? That's a good message. But I don't want to do that to you. But that is a good message. Because if God has already declared something over your life, ain't that nothing Satan can do but work around it. You can try and do whatever you were doing, but in the end, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be dancing before me, joyful, with a smile, your hair flowing, because God showed it to me. And that's the destiny, right?
Yes.
So you can't change what God has already spoken.
Peggy Jenkins said that Satan is not
No.
He is not.
No.
He does not know everything. He's not.
No. Even the Bible said he lives in Rome. So where Satan lives, he said, he lives there. He's not here, there, and everywhere like God. Okay. So what I want to do here is put my glasses on.
Please and thank you.
Okay. Is to go through the scriptures and show you what Satan knew and what he tried to do to stop it. Now listen, what the object of this message, hey, when did you walk in? All right. The object of this message is to not just to let you know that Satan believes the Bible more than you. Mm-hmm. I know that by what he does, okay? Mm-hmm. The object is to remind you that you should believe the Bible as strong as he does, okay?
Amen.
If you believe the Bible as strong as Satan did, or as strong as Satan does, you would live your life differently. You would prepare differently.
Yes.
You would know what's going on in a different way. You would act completely different if you knew the things that Satan knows.
Amen.
Satan knows that hell exists. Yeah. Satan saw God create hell. Do you know that?
Yeah.
In Enoch, he's watching God create a pit with flames in it, right? And God is explaining to Enoch why he's building this place. You think Satan wasn't there going, hope that ain't for me. You can hope all you want. That's for you. So let's look at the scripture. First scripture I want to go to is Genesis chapter 3. Yes. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And we'll read 15. And it says, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, meaning he's the one who enticed Eve to eat of the fruit. He's the one who enticed the first sin. And God is saying, because you have done this, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and the dust shall thou eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, I wish I could read that in Hebrew, because when it says he shall bruise thy head, it's a word that means to utterly crush. Mm-hmm. So Satan knows that God is saying this seed that's going to be born of the woman is utterly going to crush your head.
Yeah.
And he says you will injure or bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head.
Yeah.
Okay. Now Satan knows this, that a child is going to be born of a woman that's coming to destroy. So if you're Satan and you know the word that God speaks is true, what are you going to try to do in that situation? You're going to try to prevent women from having children.
Mm-hmm.
Thus homosexuality, Sodom and Gomorrah, is created. You understand?
Right.
For the purpose that if men are not sleeping with women, children can't be born.
Right.
Therefore, homosexuality is introduced into the world by Satan. And in Sodom and Gomorrah, this is not on. Now, listen to, if you listen to the story of Lot, he even said, I have two daughters.
Yeah.
But don't harm these two innocent men who have come to live in my house. Because if they do that, he's responsible for their lives because he let them come in his house. So now he says, I have two daughters. Not one man out there said, okay, we'll take the daughters.
Not one.
Why? There was an agreement between all the men in Sodom that they would not touch women. Who put that in their minds?
Satan.
So he's trying to keep this going, and he really wanted to introduce this to the whole world so that the child could not be born and that this child cannot come and crush my head. So then when Moses was born, he's thinking, oh my, I've heard about this guy coming to free the Hebrews out of slavery. Maybe this is the child that's going to crush my head. So what does he do? He has every child killed within the time frame of Moses' birth, hoping that he ends up killing that seed so that his head does not get crushed.
Yeah.
Now you see what Satan is doing? He's not just hearing the word. He's acting upon the word because what? He believes it.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So when Christ was born, he did the same thing he did with Moses. And even through the prophet Jeconiah, God cursed Jeconiah's bloodline, which went through David. And when God cursed Jeconiah's bloodline, Satan was celebrating because he says now the bloodline can't go through David to Christ. And so he was really happy about that. But God said, that's okay, because I'm going to go the other way and go through Nathan and then through Mary, and the bloodline won't be cursed. So God is like, whatever you say that you're going to do, you have to work around what I've already declared, because it's going to happen.
Right.
I want you to understand that clearly, because Satan really believes the word of God. And unlike us, when that word comes, he acts.
Yes.
Let's go to Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, and we will also read 14. Are you there?
Amen.
Now, this is God, and he's speaking to he's speaking to Abraham. Because he's telling Abraham, your people are going to go into a land and they're going to be mistreated. And so this is what it says. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and after they will come out with great possessions. Do you see that? So they're not just going to leave Egypt. They're going to come out with some stuff.
Yes.
You understand? So, first of all, God is proclaimed already that you're going into this, but don't worry, you're coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the one that is encouraging the Pharaoh, don't let him go? Satan. Don't you let him go.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it was sometimes, if you read it in the Hebrew, many times Pharaoh wanted to give up.
Yeah.
And the scripture said God
strengthened
his heart, because it said, so in some it says God encouraged him to, you know, but God did not entice him to sin. It said God strengthened him, as if you were sick and God made you well to see what you're going to do. And you went back to doing the same old dirty stuff that you was doing when you was healthy, right? He would get to the point that it's like, these plagues are too much. I just want to give up. And God would go, I'm going to give you strength to see what you're going to do. So the scripture said God gave him strength, strengthened him. And as soon as he got the strength, he said, I'm going to rebel again, right? So God kept strengthening. And he time after time, Satan is encouraging, don't you let these people go, because if you let these people go, then God's word is going to come true. But if I can interfere with the word of God that it does not come true, I can prove that I can defeat God. Okay? But it didn't happen. 400 years later, right?
Yes.
They walked through the sea, both sides standing still. They walk through on dry ground, and they come out. But let's look at this. If God keeps his word, let's go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 38, because they're coming out now.
Say it again, Pastor.
Exodus chapter 12, verse 38. I'm sorry, 33, verse 33. Listen to what this says. It says, the Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave. So on the night that the Jews are leaving town, right, they already took the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. Every first child in Egypt has died. And now it says during the night, the Egyptians, the people urged the people. They said, you Hebrews, it urged the people to hurry and leave the country.
Uh-huh.
They wanted them out of there, right? Because the firstborn in every house is dying.
Yeah.
So they're like, man, Pharaoh, you should have let these people go a long time ago. Say, get them out of here. And the Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country. For otherwise, they said, we will die. So the people took dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs, wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. So they left there with all the Egyptians' gold and silver and clothing. Did God say that's the way they would come out? You will leave with great possessions. Okay? This is why these black Hebrew Israelites are so stupid. Like, you ain't left nowhere with great possessions. Right? We are here. So, understand this, that when God speaks, it's going to happen. Now, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5. And we know that Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5 is the 5,708th verse of the Torah, which stands for the year 1948. And he says, he will bring you back to the land that belonged to your fathers. When? In 1948. And you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and more numerous than your fathers. So in the scripture that gives you the year in Hebrew, 5708, and the year, which stands for the year 1948, he says, this is the year I'm going to bring you back into your land. Now, Satan knows that God has proclaimed he's going to bring the Jews back into their land. Okay? So does Satan try to stop this from happening? What happened in Holocaust? Right? Yeah. What happened in Germany? He has this crazy person trying to kill every Jew he possibly can. Okay? And he was on a mission for 6 years to kill every Jew he could possibly kill. 6 million Jews died. That is not a number that is just thrown out there that some doubters say. Right. Oh, it was a lot less than six million. No, it was 6 million. It's a prophetic number that said this is the amount. And then in the newspaper, it posted 1/3 of every Jew has died in the Holocaust.
1/3.
So now 1/3 of these people have died. And now why was Satan inspiring Hitler through the Rothschilds and the Catholic Church to kill every Jew? Because if you kill all the Jews and you weaken the people, they're never going to return to the land. And then I can prove that I'm stronger than God's word. Mm-hmm. Ain't happening. Even though 6 million died, God says, I control the minds of men. So in 1947, all the leaders of every nation said, we're giving the land of Israel back to the Jews, right? And God made sure that it got documented in the 19th book of the Bible, Psalms, in the 47th chapter. And in that chapter, he says, all the leaders of the nations met and they made a decision for the children of Israel, of the children of Abraham. And so God did it exactly when he said. And so this is another proof that when God says, my people are going to go back in the land, right? Well, who are these dry bones? He says, can they have flesh on them again? God is prophesying. They're going back to the land. Satan is like, no, I'm going to kill them all. They're never going to get back to the land. Satan was there saying, don't let them. Do you know how many Jews were trying to return to the land on ships? And they kept putting blocks and saying, they're not allowed to leave Germany. They're not allowed to leave Russia. They were trying to keep the people from going back. But no, they ended up back in the land.
Amen.
Then in 1948, all of a sudden, hey, we're renaming the land. It's no longer Palestine because it never should have been.
Right.
Don't make me mad. Never should have been Palestine. That was some name that the the Romans came up with, which meant Philistine, but in Arab it's Palestine. Mm-hmm. So they renamed the land Palestine to spite the Jews. But God said, it's okay. When you go back, you rename it Israel.
Right.
And so God's word came true. But don't think that Satan didn't already know he better fight against this, because he was fighting against it. You know why Satan was fighting against it? Because he believed that God was going to do it. But he thought in his mind, if I could stop him, I can prove that the word of God is not true. Dummy. Right? Because you can't stop what God has already planned.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to show you what the Lord was letting me know. That the next great event in the world that's going to happen is the rapture.
Yes.
Okay? And you don't know the day or the hour. But God warns you to watch and stay prepared. That's what he wants you to do. Okay? Yes. Watch and stay ready, so that you can escape what's going on, okay? Yes. Now, does Satan believe in the rapture?
Yes.
Yes. Does Satan believe in the 7 years of tribulation?
Yes.
Yes.
Banking on it.
100% they are planning this thing. What did JC say? The party starts when the church leaves?
Yep. They waiting on
He got a rap song. A Satanist has a rap song, says that the party starts when the saints leave.
Wow.
So I'm telling you, they know, like the Freemason that I met and told him about the rapture. He goes, well, I'm a Mason, but we're waiting on the rapture too.
Yeah.
He said, we know about it. Don't think that Satan doesn't know that the rapture is going to happen.
Amen.
Okay? It is Satan who tells false teachers to tell people that there's not going to be a rapture.
Right.
Even Juke said, Pastor Sandy, our job was to go on and to discourage people about the rapture, to let them think that they have to go through the tribulation, that God is going to be cruel to them. So he said, an ex-Satan said that our job was to discourage people, to tell them that the rapture is not going to happen. The rapture is the blessed hope of each and every one of us. As we sit here today, you know what we can hope? I hope the rapture happened in the next 5 minutes. Because you know what? It solves all problems.
Yeah.
The rapture is a complete resolution of every problem you have. Okay? So that is the blessed hope, Lord, come. Now you're in this season that we're late 1,000 years deep.
Yeah.
We're 180 jubilees deep. Israel is already 70 years old, right?
Amen.
Israel is on its 71st year. And a matter of fact, Joseph died in his 71st year. So all of this, we're in this time where we saw the 120th jubilee proclaimed to the world by our president. And they made a coin to commemorate it. And saying, oh, he's going to build a third temple.
Yes.
Every Jew is asking for the third temple to be rebuilt. Because that means that they've been reestablished. So it's coming. Okay? Now watch this. I want to show you something. These are all the things that Satan is doing because he believes the Bible. Okay? Because there's going to be 7 years of tribulation, look what Satan has done. He purchased 30,000 guillotines. Why? Because the scripture says that he's going to behead people in the tribulation. They purchased 30,000. The guy that exposed the 30,000 guillotines being purchased by the United States, they killed him.
Yeah.
Okay? He built 1,400 concentration camps. He's doing the same thing Hitler did. What did Hitler do? He built concentration camps. Why? You can't kill people on the street. So, hey, we'll just take them away, and we'll just, as we take thousands and thousands, and once we get rid of them, then we'll go back and get thousands more, and then we'll get rid of them. And he said, it'll all be done in concentration camps. And then the other puppets, they'll just do what we say and take the mark.
Yep.
Okay? So he's preparing, like he's preparing for this 7 years because he wants this to be a time of slaughter of human beings, God's precious little creation. He created a worldwide tracking system.
Yes.
That means he knows where you are, wherever you're at. And he also, number four, created a chip to help with that tracking system.
Yes.
With DNA technology in it that will change your DNA from being human to being Nephilim. So he's going to ruin your DNA. So this sounds like Satan is planning for the destruction of human beings, right? He created AI, artificial intelligent robots, to kill without feeling. So they're going to be able to kill people without feelings, okay? This is why they're creating artificial intelligence,
wow.
Okay? He created CERN so that he can open a portal for demons to come through. They can't do it yet. Know why? The Holy Spirit's still in the world. But when we leave, they'll figure it out. Revelation 9 says he will. That a portal will be open, okay? He created quantum computers so he could communicate and get technology and ideas from demons. So these are the things that Satan is doing while Christians are not preparing for the rapture. Okay? So this is what the Lord wanted me to say. If Satan is preparing this much for the rapture, and he's preparing this much, I mean, that's just part of everything that he's doing. Don't forget about the viruses,
right,
that they got ready to go, right? Don't forget about the diseases. Don't forget about what they're doing with foods, poisoning foods, and doing all of these things. They are getting ready for the destruction of human beings. And God is saying, prepare yourself and be ready. For what? You're not going to prepare yourself and be ready to go through it.
Right.
So you, I mean, billions of people are going to get killed, but you're like, I'm going to be one of those that make it. Maybe you will. But understand this. God said there's a better way out of the tribulation than running around trying not to get your head chopped off. Trying to eat without getting a mark.
Hmm.
There's a better way of surviving it, okay? Because someone said to me, Pastor, I already accepted Jesus. And you know what I said? So what? I'm prepared. I already accepted Christ. I said, so what? I said, you know, lukewarm people have accepted Jesus too.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that you accepted Jesus, because five of the 10 virgins, all 10 of the virgins accepted Jesus, and the five that were left also knew Jesus was coming.
Yep.
So I accepted Jesus is not the issue. Having your garment on when he comes becomes the issue, okay? Who is that guy? Perry Stone? Now, I'm not a Perry Stone fan, and the only reason I'm not a Perry Stone fan is because he's an expert in merchandising the word of God. Like, he sells CDs and all kinds of stuff. It's the only thing I have against him. But when teaching the word of God, he's very precise. And he's trying to teach people. He did a whole message on the fact that accepting Jesus is not the most important thing. The most important thing is, how did you live during the 40-year journey through the wilderness? Because accepting Jesus is like coming out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
I came out of Egypt. Yay, we came out of Egypt. How many people went into the promised land?
Well,
two.
Of the original, yeah.
Okay, so that means the celebration was pre, what was that word, Pastor Ben? They're celebrating too fast.
Right.
Okay? Because coming out of Egypt is not the thing. It's now that I'm out of Egypt, I want to enter the promised land. So my conduct in the wilderness journey,
wow,
plays a part in the fact that I'm going over.
Right.
Now, somebody say, no, we're under grace now. Well, then what happened to the lukewarm people? Because you can't be lukewarm if you haven't already accepted Christ.
Yeah.
What happened to the other half of the five virgins? Okay? What happened to the people who didn't have their garments with them when he came? So I'm just saying this, that no matter how much people want to lie to you, because I'm realizing Freemasons are into church business for a reason, and it's to confuse Christians. They're trying to confuse you and give you another way of accepting Christ and another way of living your Christian life other than what the Bible teaches. Because the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What I got to be scared about? Once I'm saved, I'm always saved. I got to work out my life with fear and trembling. I can just do what I want and enjoy life. Fear and trembling. And throw that scripture in the trash. So God is always warning us, look, make sure that your journey after you come out of Egypt is worthy to go into the promised land.
Yeah.
Okay? Because that's where we're trying to get to.
Amen.
So I want to read this scripture. Let's go to Luke. Chapter 21. We're going to get to the rapture in a little bit, okay? Because it's our season. No matter what you think, no matter what you say, it is our season.
Yeah.
It has never been more our season than it is today.
Amen.
Okay? It is our season. And since it's our season, we should be excited about the fact that the blessed hope could happen.
Yes.
That we could be gone. That we could be celebrating. Because our blessed hope is Jesus' blessed hope.
Yes.
You understand? So here in Luke chapter 21, we'll start in verse 21. Am I? Yes, I am. Okay. And it says here, then let those who are in Judea. No, that's not where I want to start. Oh, I'm sorry. In verse 29. Okay.
Where are you?
I'm in Luke chapter 21, verse 29. And it says here, he told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Okay? Summer is near. Giving you a hint. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. When? Because summer is near. Why? Why summer being near is important. We'll get to that. It says, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Be careful. Who's he talking to? Christians or non-Christians? Christians. He's not talking to non-Christians. He's saying, be careful, right? Be careful or your heart will be weighed down with dispensation and drunkenness and the anxieties of this life. He's telling Christians, look, be careful. Don't let this world get a hold of you. You understand? Don't let this world get you to start acting like them, because a day is coming where the blessed hope is going to come true. I know you don't believe it as much as Satan does, but I need you to prepare and stay prepared just as strong as Satan is preparing for your destruction.
Yes.
Okay? Billions of dollars to build CERN. Okay? I don't know how much 30,000 guillotines cost, but they didn't mind. Right? He's preparing. Okay?
Yes.
So, he says, so that you don't be weighed down with dispensation, drunkenness, and the anxiety of life. Don't you let your stress keep you away from God.
Amen.
And that day close on you unexpectedly like a trap. You hear that?
Yes.
You don't want that day to surprise you. You understand? Uh-huh. While you're concerned with things other than Jesus. Well, Pastor, you know the rapture hasn't happened yet, so I'm just kind of going back to my old life. You go right ahead. But I'm going to tell you right now, don't let this catch you unexpectedly.
Amen.
Okay? I told one of the young men that left here, I said, don't you let eternity surprise you. Amen. With bad news.
Mm.
Okay? So you stay in Christ. You understand?
Amen.
So it says, for it will come upon all. Can you say with me all? All. I would say, what does all mean? But I mean everybody. It will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. You hear that?
Yeah.
That means when this moment happens, everybody in the world is going to be affected.
Yes.
Okay? This trap is going to affect everybody in the whole world.
Yes.
And he says, don't you let it surprise you because of anxiety or because you out a Christian doing shots with non-believers. Because it's just a tradition. It's what we do when we have a party with my friends. You know, I know I'm a Christian and I don't try to drink as much as they do, but I want to do a shot with my friends. Well, maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're lukewarm.
Right.
Because you don't want to be, I don't want to accommodate the world with my behavior so that they feel comfortable around me.
Uh-huh.
I want to let them know, oh, you're doing shots, I'm stepping out of the room because I don't hang out with drunk people.
Amen.
But you guys have a good time, I'm going home.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Separate yourself away. Without holiness, the scriptures say you cannot see God.
Amen.
What is holiness? Separate it. Sanctifying yourself away from them. Sanctifying yourself, meaning you're not acting like them, being like them, doing the things that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then say, then going to church on Sunday and saying, still, I'm still a Christian. OK, so it will come upon the on all those who live on the whole face of the world. And it says, be always on watch and pray. Now, is he talking to non-believers? Who are you going to tell the non-believers to pray for? We don't pray. He's talking to believers.
Amen.
Be always on watch and pray that you be able to escape all that is about to happen.
Yes.
Be always on watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen.
Yes.
And that you may be able to stand before Jesus, the Son of Man.
Yes.
And then some crooked preacher come to you and say, no, any good deed that you do does not affect your salvation. I know that you're still doing a few coke lines, but I remember when you got saved, and once you're saved, you're always saved.
Mm.
And you're already worthy. Okay? So don't worry about staying ready, and don't worry about watching, and don't worry about praying or being alert. You just live on the fact that you are already saved and you always will be saved. And no good conduct can make you more saved than you are now. Then you say, can I throw this scripture out? It says, work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Can I tear this up? That's what they'll tell you. Yeah, tear that up. Because demons are becoming preachers.
Yeah.
The Freemasons have 46,000 churches, which they have orchestrated who's going to be the pastor in those churches. And we have to understand that your salvation is in the hands of you and you and you. Individual people, study to show thyself approved.
Yeah.
And you study to show thyself approved.
Yeah.
And you study to show thyself approved, right?
Yeah.
Because we are all responsible for protecting this wonderful gift that Jesus gave to us freely by grace.
Yeah.
There was nothing I could do to get it. But let me tell you something. Once I receive a gift, I know that there are thieves in my neighborhood.
Yes.
And since I'm on this earth, we living in a bad neighborhood. Okay. I got a really nice gift, but I better not just set it down anywhere.
Hello.
Okay.
Amen.
So I'm protecting my gift. I'm staying in my word. I'm watching. I'm praying. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm making sure that I'm not mingling and mixing myself with the world where people don't know whether I'm a Christian or not when they come to my house.
Right.
Because you're playing the same music that the world plays. And you're singing the same songs that the world sings. And you're drinking the same alcohol that the world drink, and you're smoking the same cigarettes that the world smoke, and you're smoking the same weed that the world. Only thing between you and them is that you say you're a Christian.
Wow.
And God says you're lukewarm.
Amen.
Okay. So I'm saying, look, do what the Lord says and be prepared and ready to go. Now,
amen.
Let's talk about the rapture. Okay, because let me tell you something. After May 14th, I could have walked outside like this, because to me, May 14th to May 14th, 70 years later, 70 years, generations over. I could have walked outside, looked up at the sky and said, now what? That's really what I wanted to do. And then Pastor Sandy, you better study the calendar. You better see that Israel, when they were rebirthed, it was on Pentecost. Okay, I'm going to look at that. I looked at it, and it was correct. It was Pentecost. So, okay, now I'll wait till Pentecost. Pentecost comes. Now what? It was a week late, Pastor Sandy. Pentecost, they celebrated it a week early. It's the 15th, it's the 16th and 17th. Okay? So the 16th and 17th come.
Yeah.
I walk outside and I go, okay, now what? And the Lord say, what did I tell you? This time will not pass. This time will not pass. Did I give you a specific date and time? Or is the time of the harvest season my time?
Yes.
So this is the harvest season. We are in the harvest season.
Yes.
Did Ruth get married on the day of Pentecost, or did she get married at the end of the wheat season? She got married at the end of the wheat season. Okay? I didn't bring my paper. I sent you guys some of the schedule.
Did you send it to me?
No, you already gave it to me last week.
Oh, okay.
But I sent some of the people that are online the schedule of the harvest seasons in Israel, so that you see when the barley season is, you see when the barley season ends, you see when the wheat harvest begins, and you see when the wheat harvest ends. And then when the wheat harvest ends, it says, now it's time for the early figs to blossom. Okay? And I thought, wow. Okay. Now this. And remember, Ruth didn't get married to the end of the wheat harvest. Okay? Now, the end of the wheat harvest, you see what? The early figs. Now watch this. First of all, let's read Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, so we can understand this first part. Yeah, because the Lord made me laugh today. And he said, we are so, you know, we get so anxious and anxious, and we don't stop, slow down, and read. But the Lord wanted me to read this once more. You in Matthew chapter 24? Okay.
Pastor Sam, before you yes. That, they want to know if you post that on your personal Facebook or tell them how to get to your Facebook.
Yeah, I had it on my Facebook, but I'll post it again when I get home.
What is your Facebook name?
Sandy Armstrong. No pastor. Just Sandy Armstrong, regular guy. But you'll see me with an afro. Well, I have a blue suit on and a bald head, but the guy behind me with the afro, that's me too. And so here's what it says. Now watch what I'm reading here, because the Lord said we're in chapter 24, verse 36. Watch what I'm reading here, because there needs to be understanding. It says, no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Every Jew standing there goes, hey, this guy's talking about a wedding, because the Son doesn't get to know when the wedding is. So everybody knows he's talking about a wedding. Mm-hmm. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. That tells you right there that this is not talking about the tribulation. Mm-hmm. Because nobody's going to be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and hanging out at the mall during the tribulation before Jesus comes. And it says, for in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with hand at the mill. One will be taken and the other one left. You don't grind at the mill in the fall.
Right.
Nobody's grinding wheat in the fall. Okay? And this event is not talking about the barley, because the barley's already gone.
Yeah.
So he's talking about the wheat harvest. So the Lord said, listen to me. If I said to you that the harvest was in the winter, and I said to you, two will be shoveling snow, would you say, oh, it must be talking about the summertime? No, you wouldn't, right? Why? Because you know if we're shoveling snow, it's winter.
That's right.
He said, this is why I put it there, to let you know that they're grinding at the mill, because you grind wheat at the mill. So when the two are in the grinding mill, one is taken and the other one's left, he's telling you what season it is.
Yes.
They're grinding mill because it's the wheat harvest season.
Yes.
Okay?
8 minutes, Pastor.
That's good. Let's go to Micah chapter 7. Micah. We read this at the... Because God, we're in verse 1. Now God is speaking here, and he says this, what misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. When are the early figs? At the end of the wheat harvest.
Yeah.
Okay, it says none of the early figs that I crave. The godly have avowed from the land, a Hebrew word that means disappear. When do they disappear? Before the early figs appeared. So the wheat harvest takes place, and at the end of the wheat harvest is what? The early figs. Jesus says he's looking for the early figs that he craves. And he said, what misery is there in mine? I am one like who gathers the summer fruit. He's looking for the early fruit of the summer, right? At the gleaning of the vineyard, no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. The godly have vanished from the land. Not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The ruler demands a gift. The judge accepts a bribe. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together, the best of them. Because remember, he's saying, there's not one righteous man on the earth at this time.
Right.
Why? All the righteous men have disappeared. When? Before the figs. During the time of the early figs. Okay? So now, if I wanted to fool you, I could say, and it was during the time where people were hanging decorations on their house and shoveling snow. Mm-hmm. You would go, oh, it was about Christmas.
Right. Right.
But he's giving you a hint to tell you at what time does this disappearance take place? And when does it take place? At the end of the wheat harvest, right? Uh-huh. Before the early figs.
Pastor, I got a question.
We're in the wheat harvest.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Pastor.
I'm sorry. Someone was asking about July 17th.
Is July 17th the ninth of Av? Because I don't know about any July 17th. All I know is this. If that's the end of the wheat harvest, this is our harvest time to have hope. There, look, there's no other season. You understand?
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you right now, if this wheat harvest passes and there is no rapture, I have nothing to say about the rapture. I don't want to hear about another date until next wheat harvest.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to wait another year. Why? Because my bridegroom already worked his 6 days.
Yes.
It's already past the 120th Jubilee. Israel is already 70.
Yes.
We've already waited through that Jubilee season. So now he's giving us hint after hint that is doing this fig tree. If I read all of Isaiah chapter 7, you'll see all of that is talking about the tribulation. And he says, before the tribulation came, guess what? The righteous disappeared.
Yes.
Okay? Now, we'll do one more scripture. And I wanted to talk about something else, but I guess I have to talk about it tomorrow. Songs. Song of Songs, chapter 2.
Song of Songs?
Yep, Song of Songs, chapter 2. It's not the Song of Solomon. It's the Song of Songs. Song of Songs means this is the ultimate song.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Verily, verily. Verily, verily means this is really true. Okay?
Yes.
Truly, truly is mean this is really true. Okay?
Yes.
The Song of Songs is this is the ultimate song. Listen what it says. Verse 10. My lover spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come, the cooing of dove. It is heard in our land. The fig tree form its early fruit. The blossom vine spreads fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. When does he say this? The fig tree has formed its what? Early figs. That means the wheat harvest is over. Yeah. It's time to get married. When did Ruth get married?
At the end
of the wheat harvest, okay? Now, you say, are you absolutely sure about this passage? Are you saying the rapture is going to happen right at the end? I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know this is our season.
Right.
And I'm staying excited because God is telling us it's when they're grinding at the mill. What are they grinding at the mill? Wheat. Why? It's the end of the wheat harvest. They've collected the wheat and now they're grinding. And two will be in one place, one will be taken and the other one left. Oh, what about this? The early figs, okay? When I sent you the chart, it says June to July is the wheat harvest season.
Yeah.
The church is a wheat harvest.
Yes.
You understand? It is nothing different. The church is a wheat harvest. So I'm staying excited because this is my season.
Yes.
This is my time of hope. Okay? And I'm going to keep hoping until the end of this wheat harvest, and then I'm going back. I'm hoping I don't have to go back to anything, but I'm telling you right now, my hope is till the end of the wheat harvest.
Yes.
Pastor Ben, I don't have no more time. I got 1 minute.
You have, yeah, half a minute. Go ahead.
Okay, here's my half a minute. Pastor Ben, we are very much needed.
Yes, we are.
Me and you. And pastors like me and you mm-hmm. are very much needed.
Yes.
Okay? Because Satan is opening churches and he's appointing pastors to run those churches, and they're not teaching people how to be born again, and they're not preparing people to leave, and they're not preparing people to live a godly life so that they can be prepared. Now, there is a video called T.D. Jakes, and after the movie, after the video, I now call him T.D. Jokes. T.D. Jakes versus John MacArthur. And they're going to both expound on John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, which says that you must be born again, right? T.D. Jakes says the whole verse is about stages in your life. Not about being born again, not about being born of the Spirit, not about repenting, not about accepting Jesus. He says this whole chapter is about stages in your life. Because you're in the incubation of the stages in your life.
Wow.
And therefore, you may be at a stage of triumph. You may be a stage of growth. You're not ready for the great things of God yet. You're being incubated in the stomach. This is what the born again process is all about. And when you God is trying to get you to your full blessing is when you're birthed. And he preaches this whole thing. There were people commenting like, what the heck does this have to do about being born again? Which is what I was thinking. I started going, this guy is T.D. Jokes. This is not a joke. This is crazy.
That's a whole new.
So then they had John MacArthur come on. And he's like, well, John MacArthur will now expound upon the born again passage much better. John MacArthur is a Calvinist. So he says, see, the born again means to be born from above. Yes, of course it means to be born. See, this is something only God can do. No human being can choose God or choose salvation because you have been pre-selected before the foundations of the earth. So none of us have any ability to accept Jesus. We were all pre-selected. Therefore, being born again is something that only God can do, and no human effort can make you born again. There is nowhere in the Bible, he says, that teaches you how to be born again. I went, Acts chapter 2, 38 says, repent and be baptized and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't this what John is talking about? Being born of the Spirit? Okay. So yes, the Bible does tell you how to be born again. Romans 10:9-10 says, confess and believe that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved, right? So the Bible does give you instructions on how to be born again. Okay, you have two of the biggest pastors in the world that are expounding on a scripture talking about being born again, and neither one of them talk about the process of accepting Jesus, repenting, accepting Jesus, and regenerating yourself as a new person because the Holy Spirit is now living in you.
Wow.
And I realize, oh, they both belong to the same satanic system.
Yep.
Because I realize that church that belonged to McCarthy right now used to belong to Tim LaHaye, who wrote Left Behind. But he had to move out of the way because they don't want to preach rapture at that church. That's one of Satan's churches. So they brought in McCarthy, a Calvinist, who now teaches you once you're saved, you're always saved, and you've already been pre-selected, so don't worry about being born again. Or witnessing, because witnessing is a waste, because if you're witnessing to somebody and they're not pre-selected, they're not going to get saved anyway.
Pre-selected.
So this is what I'm trying to tell you, is that the church is under serious attack.
Yes.
Because Satan opens churches and he puts on shows and he has many church people going to churches that are entertainment, and nobody's teaching you the word of God. Ooh. I'm teaching you the word of God to protect your soul.
Yes.
Because yes, you do need to live for Jesus after you accept it. Yes, you must be born again. And yes, there's a way to be born again. And the born again system is not your stages of your life.
Woo.
I was so, Pastor Dan, I almost got South Central watching that. I was like, boy, if they don't get off. I said, God, what are you going to do with these people? Because let me tell you something. if you tell a lie by accident, it's forgivable. But if you know the truth and you're telling a lie to destroy other people, you got judgment coming.
Yeah.
And you're hiding the truth because you know it.
Yeah.
You just won't tell it because the organization that pays you money teaches you or tells you you can't tell them the truth.
Wow.
And that's what we have.
Wow.
So we're needed, Pastor Ben.
Yeah, we are.
Rapture or not, God needs some people that are preaching the truth of the gospel.
Yes.
Okay? So that's it for now. I'll see you guys tomorrow at Rashan Messianic Bible Club, and we will talk some more about this subject. But it is our season. It is our season. It is the wheat harvest season, because he will surely come and take his winnowing fork and put his wheat into the barn, and the tares he will throw into the everlasting fire. So the wheat harvest is here. John says the wheat harvest belongs to Jesus, and he's coming. Okay? I'm wheat. I'm ready. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Pastor Ben.
All right, Pastor Sam. Excellent.